Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm both the Zany Mystic and Lance White, your host. Before I introduce tonight's guest, I'd like to say something that doesn't get said very often or enough. I'm taking just a moment to thank the owner of the station, Don Newsom, for his tireless work in bringing BBS radio so far, so fast. I don't think he gets nearly enough appreciation or thanks for the many years of long hours and tireless service to bring all of the wonderful and enlightening shows to the air live and free each day. So this show is in honor of Don and the tremendous light he is beaming upon our planet. Thanks, Don. Now, before I introduce the guest, I have another little thing to share. Occasionally I get questions from others, and someone asked me if the show was scripted. They said it seemed like the guest and I had prepared the show together. So I'm sure other people have wondered about this question, and the answer is no. I don't usually get to talk to the guest prior to the show. We have about 5 to 10 seconds before we go on to the show live. So I do write backup questions, but I try not to rely on them because the conversation is best when it flows naturally. And it may include mistakes and dead spots, as it often has. So that said, I'm excited to introduce tonight's guest, Christopher Witecki. Entering into his third year of soul service, stand-up astrologer Christopher Witecki reports on up-to-the-minute horoscope and astrology advice for all 12 zodiac signs 5 days a week. Christopher Witecki's soul horoscopes have been described as the most accurate horoscopes on the planet, and viewers of Soul Garden TV become fast followers of Christopher's entertaining and relevant insights. Soul Garden TV is a fresh online video content channel focusing on bringing viewers the finest in mind, body, and soul improvement programs. Christopher also provides daily astroweather forecasts and Soul 360, an interactive talk show. So let's find out more about how this wonderful show came about by welcoming Christopher now. Hi, Christopher. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad you lived through that lengthy introduction.
I think I wrote it. It's my own devise.
Yes, it is. I cheated. I cut pasted.
No, that's okay.
It's very well written.
I'm learning I need to be more short in my own sense. That's fine.
Well, I don't know how I stumbled across your daily show, but I'm in a lot of Yahoo groups, and people send, you know, things fly around. We share things about spiritual matters, and I just love your show, and I just wanted to say that before we even get started.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You know, it's a real pleasure to be of soul service.
I'm just curious, what's your background in astrology, and how did the show come about?
Well, honestly, my background came from I dated a woman when I was 19 years old who was an astrologer.
Uh-huh.
And she read my chart and said to me, point blank, you're not good enough for me. And I was so offended that I wanted to learn how she knew that.
Yeah.
I thought she was right, but still I was pissed. So I started taking astrology classes and just from, you know, other astrologers, and I came to find that I had a real knack for it. So that was when I was 19, and I spent most of my early 20s just giving away charts for free, just reading people and learning and mapping, and finally around 28, this woman named Lisa Roth told me, you know, you really need to charge. You are good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it as a hobby at that time. Turns out Lisa Roth was David Lee Roth's sister.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know at the time, and so she quickly handed me off to a circle of, you know, influential people, and quickly I became popular. And so that's how I really got into astrology. I went to school for film and television.
Uh-huh.
And there was a moment when TV was entering the web where I realized, you know, I can put all my, you know, all my talents into one. I can be an astrologer, I can be a TV producer, I can be on camera at the same time. And that's really how Soul Garden came to be.
Huh. Well, how do you find the time to read the stars for each of the 12 signs and produce a free daily video at YouTube for them all?
It's a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the shortest is actually reading the stars. I've
yeah.
gotten so acute at being able to look at a map and see someone and read someone. Most of the time is waiting for the TV production to come to unfold and the rendering and the producing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-time job, no doubt. And I have a staff of some volunteers that help me, and that's how I get along.
I was curious because your show is free, I do the same thing. I don't charge for anything, and I'm not making any money on anything that I do, but which is how I choose it to be. But your show probably takes a little bit of, what's the word for it? It probably costs some money to put it together. How do you survive?
You know, honestly, I survive from donations. People just, strangely enough, give me money, like a basket passing in a Catholic church.
Right, right.
And I am I do private readings as well.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And so I do a lot of private readings, and people usually watch for about 30 to 45 days, and then they want a reading to know who they are, and that's what's kept me going so far. But the strategy is to get to a point where there's a large enough audience where I can sell some advertising.
Yeah. Well, now, how long have you been doing this? It's YouTube, right?
I've been on YouTube and also my home site. Actually, it'll be 4 years, January 22nd of 2009.
Well, while we're talking about it, let everybody know what your email, what your web addresses are, so that if they want to look it up while they're listening, well, unless I guess you can't do that. Well, let them know anyway.
Right. It's Soul Garden, SOUL Garden.tv, and that's the whole idea. I kind of use Soul Garden as a great metaphor for our own soul. You know, our soul needs gardening and tending to, and weeding and fertilizing and watering and sunlight, and so that's kind of the concept behind Soul Garden.
I kind of pick up a very nice, warm, spiritual aspect to your readings, and it feels as if you have worked on yourself in the spiritual realms. Do you want to share about your spiritual side?
Sure. Do you have 5 hours?
We have a little while. You can talk until somebody gets the hook.
Right. I've been on, I was born to a very troublesome family, early divorce, a mother who was kind of a codependent and a father who was kind of domineering. And I'm not blaming them, but it did make me grow up very quickly.
Yeah.
And so, I was one of those guys that was, advising the cheerleaders how to deal with the jocks, always the friend of the girls. And I've always been giving kind of advice. And then once I discovered astrology, I could fit the context of it into astrology and use astrology as a vehicle for it. But myself, I've gone through a lot of challenges, with intimacy, with letting my boundaries down, in the sense of being overprotective in some areas and underprotective in other areas. That's probably my hardest battle. As a light worker, I tend to give everything away, and I've learned to kind of keep more for myself. I think that's pretty common with the light workers. People who are out there doing good tend to do too much good. And we're learning how to say no. Which sounds ridiculous, but it's not. It's pretty common. That's been most of my battle. And love and intimacy. I'm married and divorced, and I have a 9-year-old son. I've been through a lot, and I'm 35. So.
Whoa.
A couple lifetimes in one.
Yeah, I've had a few of those myself.
Oh, yeah? Kids or marriages?
All of it.
Oh, really?
Well, one marriage and then one divorce, no kids, and then I discovered that I was similar to my parents, that I preferred men, so I'm gay.
Sexuality is a big deal in our lifetime.
Isn't it, though?
It really is. We're really mapping it out. I don't want to reveal your age, but... But I'm curious, in the decade you were born.
Well, I was born in 1950 on September 12th.
Okay, so you're Virgo.
Yeah.
Well, for that Pluto generation, sexuality isn't the key issue, but the key issue is deciding for yourself what your sanity is.
Yeah.
Pluto and Virgo generation, which is Barack Obama, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a Pluto Virgo generation, too. I'm very excited about your Pluto generation coming into power. We need you so much. It's not even funny. Most of the time, you guys have been your own enemy.
Yeah.
But now that you are realizing, hopefully now, that you're not.
Correct.
You're going to be incredibly useful to the society. Because once you guys gain confidence in your ability to be healers, you're going to help us heal the world. Pluto Virgo generation is probably the most important generation on the planet.
Huh. Now, what? How many years does that span, that generation? Is it like between 1945 and 1955, or?
I don't have the exact dates, but a Pluto generation will span between 12 and 18 years.
Oh,
Pluto
okay.
has an elliptical orbit, so it varies. And I don't have Pluto Virgo memorized in mind as far as dates are concerned.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, we just wrapped up Pluto and Sagittarius. Pluto left Sagittarius, well, it officially left Sagittarius on Thanksgiving. It was
yeah.
there since 1995, so it was a 12-year orbit. Pluto and Capricorn, the next time, will be a 16-year orbit. And so generations kind of vary based on where they are. But the
now, Pluto in Capricorn is, let me see. I just read about that. It begins its journey through Capricorn for the first time in almost 250 years.
That's correct. In fact,
what does that signify as far as the general energies on the planet?
Well, the last time Pluto was in Capricorn was actually the American Revolution.
Oh.
Yeah, over 250 years ago. And whenever Pluto enters Capricorn, the world has a revolution.
Wow.
Literally. And so I'm anticipating one myself as an astrologer. The time before the American Revolution was in the 1400s when Martin Luther stapled his proclamation to a church door and said that he had the right to choose his own religion. And
wow.
we had the Protestant faith begin, and we had the King James Version of the Bible be printed.
Yeah.
Every time Pluto moves into Capricorn, there is a revolution of power.
Wow.
And, so this is a very significant time. In fact, I look at this time as the corner to the world's destruction or the world's salvation. One of the two. We have
or
that
both.
Choice. Yeah, or
maybe
both.
It, maybe right. it has to break down before it can be saved.
It will most definitely break down, but there still needs to be a predominant choice of which way we go.
Mm-hmm.
We can continue on this particular path, or we can turn in a new direction.
Yes, I can feel that now. I mean, you're probably empathic as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And I can feel the energies. I mean, I can feel them pulling towards an incline towards the old paradigms and wanting to keep funding and feeding and, you know, all this stuff about keeping the General Motors and the rest alive. It's like, but they need to die. You know, the old has to go because it's just, it's been done, and it's over. You know, it's had its day.
I agree. There's not much more to go in this direction. You know?
Well, there's a person who puts out a daily column. I want to give a plug to him because he's such a wonderful writer. George Urey puts out a daily column called UrbanSurvival.com.
Hmm.
And he writes about, he's been writing about the Great Depression for, you know, 12 or 13 years or longer. And it's a pithy little column, and he picks up stuff from around the world that's just fascinating.
Hmm.
But one of the things that he mentions is that according to this future predictive technology, his friends at Half Past Human say that in 2009 there's going to be a revolution. It'll be the summer of hell.
Hmm.
And you can see the seeds of that growing, because if he's right about the economy, that we're really in a depression, and people just aren't admitting it or talking about it because they want to try to, they're still trying to cling to the idea that we can talk our ways out of things and spin our way out, then there will be revolutions, you know, because look at all the people at the top who are sucking the money out of the system, and all of those who are starving and dying, and the planet itself is being mistreated.
Yeah, indeed. I think that we are definitely at that point. I don't think it's like the depression that we saw in 1929.
No.
But I do think that I look at it in a very Pluto way, in the sense that we again are at a point where we have taxation without representation.
Yep.
That taxation is OPEC and Visa.
Yep.
And General Motors.
Yep.
And we have no voice in their costs. We have no voice in what they charge us, and I'm not sure what will end up, but I know that there's going to be a breaking point.
Yeah.
When probably the populace decides they're no longer going to play this monopoly game anymore.
Yep.
And it remains to be seen how it will unfold, but, you know, the internet is very promising in the sense that, you know, even with PayPal, you know, it is truly a life of its own that reaches everyone in the world independently, and
yes.
due to the scare of the you know, 2000 bug. Remember the 2000 bug where
yes,
we were all afraid that
Y2K.
Yeah, Y2K. I think due to that fear, we have built so much redundancy into the internet that if there was a nuclear war, it would be roaches in the internet that was left.
That's funny. I love it.
So I think that, you know, the internet allows us to reorganize and regroup in different ways that that people in power do not.
They don't like it.
Right. Exactly. And it can't be brought down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they if there were some attempts to somehow subvert the process. But
oh,
I don't think that that's going to be successful because I think that, you know, that the energy has shifted so much that people are awakening so fast that it's going to take them by surprise and they'll have to just get over it.
You know, actually, I'm of the same opinion. Many people tell me that, you know, feel like that the people on top will always be on top. But if you really study through history, every great empire, every great regime falls.
Yep.
And it's inevitable. It's
yep.
just a part of recycling of the planet and how we evolve as humans. And, you know, The Secret, which is very interesting, you know, The Secret has a lot of popularity.
Yeah.
But it's quite true. And The Secret is out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That we control our own reality.
Yeah.
And once consensus of the population decides that they want different, it will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can launch your nuclear weapons, but I think that they will fail. I mean,
well,
that's my pure belief.
Yes, I do too. And many people believe that there are ETs, extraterrestrials, helping the planet and that they've stopped all kinds of nuclear events in the past.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot too. And I listened to all of it. I haven't studied it specifically, but I believe it. I genuinely
yeah. oh,
believe
I do
it.
Too. I do too.
Yeah.
And then also, this based upon what you were saying, you know, there are references to past civilizations, which, you know, some people may laugh about, but Atlantis and Lemuria and the rest, when there were closes or ends of certain cosmic cycles. And I know, I'm pretty sure you're aware of the fact that in 2012, there are numerous cosmic cycles that all seem to come to an end right on December 21st.
Yeah. I've actually researched that day astrologically. You know, what's interesting about that day astrologically is it is the exact same day.
Uh-huh.
Well, as far as the cosmic clock is concerned, I mean, when I talk cosmic clock, I talk about Pluto being the hour hand
mm-hmm.
and Saturn being the minute hand of a clock.
Okay.
You know, that astrology is timing in some regards because
mm-hmm.
the planets move at a constant rate.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Pluto is at that particular point and Saturn is at that particular point, it is the exact same point as December 25th when George Washington actually attacked the British in our Revolutionary War.
Huh.
Exact same moment.
Wow.
When we said to Great Britain, you know, F you, we're not paying your taxes anymore, we're not doing this anymore. So I particularly feel that my opinion is that the Mayans could calendar us up to that point because I believe that point is the moment when humans realize that free will is in their hands.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's incalculable, you know, as to where we'll go next.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's, personally, I think that's the death of the Mayan calendar. They could only take us to the point where we were ignorant. Once we are aware that we're in control of our own destiny, it is not, you know, you can't predict it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could take it both ways. But I'm on the side of, you know, white light and optimism.
Yes, I am too. I am too. You use the word light worker, and I have to say that I put myself in that category too, although I hate labels.
Right. Well, you got a brand and you got a market, right?
Yeah. I'd rather be a light worker than a dark worker.
Right. Darth Vader doesn't work too well anymore.
No, 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 no. And they're going to have a lot of trouble as the energy shift much more rapidly. And doesn't it seem to me that if your life is based on love, and it really does boil down to what they've been saying all along, the Beatles and all the songs and the gurus and the rest, that love is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And some people say that there is an intelligence, actually there is a mind that is located in the heart muscle itself. So there's a thinking emotion that goes beyond the mind that we usually play with, which pays our checks and decides what to eat for dinner and so on and so forth. And coming from the heart seems to give us a totally different perspective on things.
Yeah, I've never heard that there's a mind there, but I do believe that love is the vibration of, you know, the God energy.
Yes.
And that we can create only from love. And on my horoscopes, when people are light casting and making reality, I always encourage them, you know, fill your heart with love. That is the creation vibration.
Exactly.
Period. Yeah. And it's fascinating to hear the biological. I never heard that before, but I'm not surprised that there is a mind living in our heart.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of research, too. So.
Right.
And it doesn't mean I believe everything I hear either. But I do like to share things that that resonate with me and that do make sense. And this was one of those things that some scientists had actually started to discover that there was a mind, not necessarily like the brain, but that there is a thinking process that goes on inside the heart, which makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, excuse me, I'm a person that believes that there is awareness in every cell.
Yes.
I believe a rock is self-aware.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I'm not surprised that my heart would be.
Yeah.
You know, and that some life force has volunteered to serve my life.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
Incredibly humbling.
Yep.
So if I find out that the mind has a heart, excuse me, not surprising.
You want to get a drink of water?
Sorry, I had gone down the wrong throat there. I had a drink of water.
I've got my water nearby just in case.
Excuse me, I'm sorry about that.
That's quite all right. If you have to stop, just, you know, do whatever is necessary. Like I said, the show isn't scripted, you know, so it includes coughs and sometimes even bathroom breaks.
Feel free to hop over into a Heimlich if I start choking too much, okay?
Well, we'll have all the listeners send you positive healing energies.
That's nice. Yeah, perhaps the negative were not liking what I was saying.
Exactly. Yeah, the dark workers were after you. They didn't like you putting out so much light.
Right. You know, that's true, though. I mean, I have noticed in my life that light does attract dark.
Yes, absolutely. Can you give us any examples of that?
Not specific, but just in the sense that I've had, you know, some entities in my life that were highly interested in me.
Yeah, yeah.
And interested in my destruction. And I find this surprising because I'm a light worker. All I do is help people get along in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't necessarily believe in evil, quote,
you know,
especially according to the Bible's definition. I didn't believe in evil. But as I've gone along in life, I've actually seen people that completely feed off of enslaving light.
Yes, yeah.
And so I have no choice but to call them evil.
Yeah.
You know, although I don't necessarily, you know, subscribe to those terms.
Right, I agree.
And it's been surprising. And mostly I have to say, you know, if you want to boil it down, evil is simply laziness. those rat bastards are not interested in doing the soul work necessary to connect to the light.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would rather steal yours than do the work.
Yes.
Is what I found.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
And there might be something to the idea that we have past lives in this particular planet. I'm not saying that every planet has beings that live more than once, but in this planet it seems that we are reincarnated to try to learn various lessons, and we're given the free choice, and many souls do not make changes, positive changes, and they're allowed to continue on into the utmost darkness. You know, look at Hitler and Genghis Khan and some of the others.
Right.
So those are things that all have to be healed on the other side eventually. And I believe we don't really get away with, quote-unquote, anything, that our thoughts, emotions, everything is recorded and seen and known, and we get to see it again when we cross over.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned these the people that suck energy, and I use the word psychic vampires.
That's a good word.
Because there are, and I've talked with many people, you know, personally about this, and there are actually people who will come up from behind, and you don't even know it's happening, but in a crowded street or anywhere, and they will literally make a beeline for your energy, and there's a weak spot in the mid left side of the back where they can actually just enter in and draw energy out. And I wouldn't be surprised if there could be implants, you know, left there as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that we don't understand.
Right.
That, you know, it's really important for us to talk about these things and share about them so that we can begin to compare notes. And don't you find that people are saying, well, I was afraid to tell anybody because I didn't know what they'd think of me.
Right.
You know, and then you think, well, yes, but this is really important. You've got to talk about this. This is the stuff that needs to come up and be released.
Absolutely true. If you look at really, you know, there's two ways of control. One way is to control what has already manifested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One way is to control what you manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are controlling what has already manifested have done some great work in separating us,
yeah,
putting us at war with each other,
yep,
keeping us ignorant to the truth,
yep,
and allowing us to compare notes.
Yep.
You know, they've kept us separated. And I think what's coming of age, especially with the internet, is that we're beginning to start to compare notes. And
yep.
Gosh golly, you know, we've all had an anal probe.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I think this, I believe personally, this is just my own personal belief, that in this era, we're going to, in our lifetime, we're going to see some proof of spirit.
Yes.
I think we're going to see some evidence. I think it's going to be, the soul will be measurable scientifically.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my own impression. And if that happens, then there's a quantum leap in our understanding.
Yes.
And hopefully, we can take that knowledge and we can organize and make something different. That's
that would be nice.
That's the age of Aquarius, I think, in essence.
Yes. Well, you know, it seems almost inevitable that we're going to end up having to create something different anyway, because for 4.5 billion years, we've tried the same old crap. And, you know, wars and killing each other for turf and dominance is just an old, old story that really is becoming very tired.
You know what always confuses me is, like, if you are, you know, let's say one of the founders of the World Bank, a Rockefeller or a Rothschild or whatnot, and
right.
at $1 billion, what interests you anymore?
Yeah.
You know, what is the motivation of control at such an extreme differential?
Yeah.
You know, I'm always curious about that. Like, why would you even bother? Isn't it more interesting to invest and see what would happen if the world was invested in? You know, rather than taking from?
I agree with you.
I don't understand what motivates these people that rule the world.
I think ultimately it's fear.
Mm.
It's fear. And, you know, once you... don't forget that if you've done your conspiracy theory research, some of these families have set things up over decades and centuries. You know, it goes back to bloodlines and the King and Queen of England and so on and so forth. So they've actually tilted the scales in their favor. And if you do that and you're born into this family, one of these families that is acquiring and manipulating control, then for them it's probably just like a game. You know, people dying and wars and stuff, that's all just, you know, part of a game board.
Mm.
You know, that we're useless eaters that are designed to feed their coffers.
Mm.
And I can understand that viewpoint, but it's got a finite life to it, because you can only take it so far. You either have to take it to the point of complete control, where everybody is microchipped and thinks alike, and that they control the population, and then they genetically engineer those that they need for this and that and the other thing. And that just seems like such a boring thing to do.
It really is. And
you know?
What's remarkable is that, you know, if you really are in your soul and you're light casting, you're
mm-hmm.
making your life happen,
mm-hmm.
you can have all of that without controlling anyone.
Oh, yes.
It's right there available for you. There's no need to take over free will of any other individual.
Absolutely.
You can have everything you want. There's plenty of room in the world consciousness for everyone to have everything they want. And it's just amazing to me that someone or something would control to the point, maybe based on fear, I agree
yeah.
with you, but it's so far removed from what reality is.
Yeah.
You know, it's inevitable to me that it's going to fall.
Oh, I agree. I agree, and I think this is the period of time that we're entering into, when the beginning of the fall is the cracks in the global financial markets. Because
yeah.
that's going to interrupt the cycle of greed and corruption.
Right. I agree.
And the other thing is, too, so much has been secretive. going back, you know, 60 or 70 years, when people set up various black operations and to back engineer various things, it became, you know, nobody knew what the left, no right hand knew what the left hand was doing. So there are all kinds of research facilities that we never know about. We, you know, we can't even get any information about Area 51, and there are hundreds of those all over the globe.
Right.
There are cities, huge cities that the government has built, and we're not privy to it. And some whistleblowers have said that the technology that's available, which has been repressed, is about 100 years in advance of what we're accustomed to here.
Hmm.
And that's not far-fetched, because if you think about it, even though things have moved so quickly, it's as if we've been tossed a bone or a little scrap of food here and there, like a cell phone or a digital something or other. But technically, there is there's technology that could provide free energy for everybody right now, and it's sitting in some vault, just gathering dust like it has, because it would upset the balance of power, and the people who are in control would lose control.
See, but I see those people in control as idiots.
Oh, I agree.
Because you know what? If I'm a slave to oil, I'll be a slave to hydrogen.
Yeah.
You know, so why not make me a slave to the new technology? Why not think beyond where we are? Why not make the planet a safer place to live? If you really do have your hands around tomorrow's technology, then why aren't you smart enough to still be in power around that technology?
Yes.
You know, that's what always confuses me. You know, I've never understood why the oil companies are insistent on drilling oil.
Yeah.
You know, and killing, you know how many men die drilling oil? It is the most dangerous job, as far as I understand, on the planet.
Yeah.
To drill oil.
Yeah.
And you're killing lives when you could, theoretically, with a snap of a finger, control hydrogen.
Yes.
And be a monopoly in hydrogen. Why not help the Earth and save lives? Why not?
Yeah.
I'll still pay your outrageous prices.
Yeah.
You know, I'll still do it. I'll still stand up for it. You can still control my life with it. I don't understand why, when the people are in positions of this kind of power, that they don't do the best thing for the world.
Yeah.
It baffles me. And
well,
I can only assume they're idiots.
That, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And, you know, I think that they become so jaded and so self-absorbed that they just have no conscience and no heart to... no heart substance left. They're probably dying souls, you know. And it also is possible, I have heard this said, that some of the people on the planet that are in control are controlled by a slightly higher density than ours that lives in the fourth density. We're in the third. And that there are extraterrestrials that live in a slightly higher density that attach themselves, that use the people to control the planet. So, I mean, that's a possibility.
I've heard that, too. You know, my father, I come from a very unique background. My father has past life memories of Atlantis. When he was in Atlantis. Yeah, I was raised under this fable. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but
yeah.
There is this theory out there that the Earth is an intergalactic United States.
Yeah.
And that this is a experiment, the Earth experiment. The experiment was to create a planet where multiple beings would incarnate into bodies. And prior to that, allegedly, you know, I don't know, were kind of singular. So, you know, this fourth dimension and what you mentioned, I've tagged it as reptile, reptile race.
Yeah.
Who wants the planet to be warm. They want global warming. They like it hot.
Yeah.
and other species, such as the Pleiadians and whatnot, that are allegedly fighting for Earth to be something different. And that all may be true. You know, I don't put too much attention to it just because, well, regardless whether we like it or not, we're here playing this game right now.
Exactly.
So the theory is fascinating, but irrelevant. You know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we have to fight for what we believe in here in this moment. But I think that might be true. You know, this last presidential electoral race was fascinating to me. Because it represented more than Barack Obama and his opponent. You know, it represented entire sides of belief structures.
Yeah.
You know, ones who really were willing to surrender for the light, and ones who wanted to control, you know, with thought and just what they see in front of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm very happy to say that I think the light won in this election.
Yes.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think that there's going to be a little bit, there'll be some bumps, of course, because the people who are behind the scenes pulling the strings are still there.
Right.
They've created all the world wars and,
right.
and, you know, the biological weapons, and they have all of this stuff at their disposal. So they haven't gone away yet. And it's a formidable power to wield, and we'll see how they handle it. I personally think that 9-1-1 was a contrived event, and I know a lot of people are beginning to wake up to this.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, and it's really a matter of waking up, and once you do, you can't put a lid back on Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just impossible. You start seeing things differently, and once you see them, it's like one of those cubes, you know. Is this a cube, or is it a square, you know. And then it shifts, and it's like, oh, that's right, now I can see it.
Yeah.
And one thing that occurred to me about what you were saying was, I'm sure you've heard that there are indigos and crystals that have incarnated onto the planet for several decades now.
Yes.
I'm guessing that you're somewhere in that stratum of indigo crystal.
I would call myself an indigo. I'd call my son a crystal.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you notice that he has any different abilities or thoughts, or does he say things that seem otherworldly?
Absolutely. My son, who I believe is a crystal, is, well, one thing that's remarkable about his generation at large, he's 11 years old, is that he is zero judgmental. There is no judgment in my son. He does not judge anyone for any particular facet. He understands homosexuality. He, you know, hopes that gays can marry.
Wow.
He's 11 years old, and he's like questioning me, why won't society let them marry, Dad?
Wow.
And I'm saying to them, because society's stupid, you know.
Yes.
But he's innately on the side of true spiritual justice.
Yes, yes.
And he's remarkably telepathic, you know. Very little of my thoughts can be hidden from him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he is purely good. If anything, I'll tell you this, the crystals, I mean, my son has no survival instincts.
Oh.
He just assumes that the world will go on.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly telling him, no, you got to brush your teeth. You got to take a bath. Like, you know, and I know that's common with children, but at when I was his age as an indigo, I mean, in the indigo generation is a lot more of a fighter.
Yes.
Spiritual fighter or, generation.
Yeah.
We're here to actually say, no, this crap stops here.
Yep.
You know, the crystals, I think, are the handoff, you know, to where once we've fought the war, we can hand off to the crystals and trust the crystals to manage the planet correctly. And then there's the rainbows.
Ah, yes.
Which I have witnessed a couple of times, actually, and I believe in them. I've seen two babies now that I think are rainbows, and I can't tell you, it's just, when you're in the presence of a rainbow soul, they are just, it's Jesus. It's Jesus-like. They're just amazing. You just are in love. You can't take your eyes off these babies. They fill your heart with love. They're incredibly hyper-intelligent as infants.
Yeah.
You know, with the gestures they give you with their face. And I haven't seen a rainbow grow up yet. I mean, I know two rainbows that I believe are rainbows. I mean, I'm calling them rainbows, and I'm assuming that's what they are because I've heard the description, and I'm matching it to what I'm seeing. But still, nonetheless, I'm really aghast at how incredible the youngest ones, the rainbows, are. And it gives me hope, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I totally agree with you on that one. And one of the healers in our group probably has a rainbow, and she came in with brain cancer.
Oh, wow.
And when he sent a picture of her to the group, it was like waves. I was knocked away from the screen. She is so beautiful and full of love, and so, I mean, you just get it, you know?
Right.
And she fought brain cancer for 2 or 3 years and has won.
Wow.
And so, you know, some of these kids are now coming in with some major challenges and surviving through things that, you know, most of us just would fold our cards and say, I give, I'm out of the game.
Right.
You know, but I do believe you're right. And I also feel that as the veil between this reality and higher realities thins, that these kids are coming through pure and pure.
Yes.
And that those of us, the light workers, and probably most people who have incarnated at this time knowingly, are going to have an opportunity to experience that energy, that we're moving in that direction.
Mm.
And I think that there will be a kind of a nexus point or a hundredth monkey thing that goes on that will be extremely dramatic for some of us in a positive way.
Right.
And I'm thinking that that's probably somewhere, you know, any time now. I'm ready.
I'm ready, too. Well,
I'm 59 years of being on the planet and surviving, alcoholism and drug addiction and, you know, being gay and this and that and the other thing and car accidents. It's like, okay, oh, and HIV and AIDS for 25 years.
A whole other conspiracy I want to talk about sometime.
Oh, well, yes, I was given it by the government.
Right. Do you believe that it's really offensive to the body? Well, I mean, from research I've done and psychics I've spoken to,
yes.
It's harmless.
I don't know about that. I've given some thought about that, but I'm not sure of.
Mm.
It's not clear yet. But I do know that in 1983, when I went to the hepatitis B vaccination in New York and San Francisco, that the gay people and straight people were given the vaccination, so it wasn't, you know, nobody was singled out. I'm not saying that, you know, there was an attempt to single anyone out, but we were experimental, and the HIV virus was included with that, with the hepatitis B vaccination, and that's documented factual information.
Mm, fascinating.
Yeah, and since the statute of limitations has expired, nobody can go back and sue the government. And I wouldn't do it even if I could.
Right.
You know, living with a death sentence over your head all your life gives you a whole different perspective about being in the moment.
Right.
You know.
And it's valuable spiritually regardless of
exactly.
Why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And eventually you learn how to transform everything in your life, because everything that happens from the moment you come in to the moment, to this moment of now, is here to help us.
Right.
And so, as I see it, that includes letting go of all the feelings of, you know, being misunderstood, of being a victim. My parents did this, so-and-so did that, I was raped, I was murdered, this and that and the other thing. You just have to let all that go, because I believe, at least for myself, that I chose all of those experiences for the soul growth that they provide.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Although I will say, you know, I do believe in my heart that HIV is harmless. I do believe it's harmless. I think that with the research I've done and what I've seen, and I speak fluent gay. I mean, I have so many gay friends, it's not even funny. and
I even wondered about you, because sometimes you throw in a little double entendre with your, Soul Garden astroscopes, and it's kind of like, oh, that's a little funny. That's kind of, I wonder if he's gay.
You know what? I do that. I mean, honestly, I understand the nature of soul.
Yeah.
You know, I am a person that falls in love with everybody in life.
Oh, good.
You know, and
I thought so.
and my gay friends. I mean, gosh, if they were single, maybe. You know, like
yeah.
honestly,
yeah.
like I don't rule anything out in life.
Yeah.
I happen to have a phenomenal partner, and she has my birthday, so it's really kind of a. A joke from God.
Yeah,
you know, give
yeah.
you the one chart that you don't understand.
That's
but
funny.
But nonetheless, of all my gay friends, you know, the ones who are many of them are not on the medication and they're fine.
Yeah,
they're absolutely fine.
Yeah,
and the ones who are on the medication, honestly, are ones who are abusing their bodies in other ways, which
with
the gay population is really hurting from, like crystal meth.
Crystal meth. Yeah,
you know,
that was
and,
my drug of choice. In the late 1990s and 2000s, I ended up a drug dealer in San Francisco.
Really?
I was partying 24 hours a day because I thought I was going to die. You know,
right.
I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know. I thought, well, I'm dead anyway. I've got AIDS, you know. Boom, I might as well have fun, go out with a smile.
Right.
And it never happened.
Well, good for you. Your soul endured. You know, methamphetamine goes back to World War II.
Yes.
You know, Adolf Hitler was feeding
yep.
his troops methamphetamine.
Yep.
Honestly, I think that, in my opinion, I think that the pharmaceutical industry has been trying to enslave mankind for some time.
Absolutely right on the money.
We did it with methamphetamine in World War II.
Yeah.
And after World War II, we had our pink ladies and we had our blue pills and Elvis died.
Yep.
Then we made it illegal, quote, quote, but we turned it into Sudafed.
Yep.
We turned it into all these other pharmaceutical cold medicines.
Yep.
That we, you know, I would imagine that they accidentally, quote, quote, slipped to the general public on how to remake methamphetamine.
Yep.
And it's my belief that, you know, that the gay population in the 80s that died were dying of methamphetamine abuse and poppers and all that.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, the pharmaceuticals they delivered actually killed the gay population. In fact, I have some gay friends who refused the medication in the 80s and lived.
Well, that was my story.
Right, there you go.
I tried AZT in 1987, I think, when I found out I was positive. And I was on it for a few weeks, and I was walking up a hill with a dog, and I was so winded, and my body felt like it was 100 years old. I felt like I needed a cane. And I had a moment of clarity, and I thought to myself, if this is what life is like on drugs, I would rather die. And as soon as I got home, I flushed the AZT down the toilet, and I never took medications again for about 20 years.
Wow.
I decided that until they come up with something that's better than this shit, I'm not taking anything. And it was after I got, you know, clean and sober some years ago and out of jail for dealing crystal meth. I did pay my dues that I began looking at medications.
Mm.
And then the funny thing was that the Sestiva, which they put out, is like, for me, it was like a mild hallucinogen.
Wow.
It crosses the blood-brain barrier, and I was actually on an LSD trip, and the ironic thing is you have to take it every day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I swear to God, I had more metaphysical experiences on Sestiva than I have on LSD, probably.
Mm.
But I had to stop that. I mean, it got to the point where I was seeing multiple realities and other dimensions, and I mean, it got to be too much. It's like being on a permanent acid trip.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I really honestly think, I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. In fact, people say to me, do you believe in government conspiracy? And I say, no, because government is for sale. I believe in corporate conspiracy.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that there are lots of ways to make money, and one way to make money clearly is to make a person think that they need to spend $1,000 a month on a particular drug when they don't.
Absolutely.
and what I've seen in my own reality with my close, close friends is that, you know, a positive affirmation that you're going to be fine will do enough.
Yeah.
You know, theoretically, according to what I understand in astrology and spirituality, if God made the disease, then a human can overcome the disease.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
If man made the disease, maybe not.
Well, it's man-made.
You know, because it's disgusting from God. So if HIV really comes from monkeys, and we really somehow crossbred it from some man, some wacko guy who decided to have sex with a monkey instead of another man in Africa, which I don't even understand. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I know.
Plenty of great men in Africa to have sex with. Why would you choose a monkey?
Right, right.
Right? You know, from the gay perspective, it's ridiculous even. You know, it's like, what? You know, choose a man. You know, why would you deal with a monkey?
Yeah.
But even if that was the case, it's my belief that your own, you know, positive affirmation of health would overcome it.
Yeah, yeah.
Much like cancer.
I agree, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you've probably seen people healed from various diseases who have, you know, been supposedly infected with terminal illnesses.
Mm.
In the healing group that I'm in, we've had numerous cases of even people that are doing the healing coming down with cancer and healing, just having total remission.
Right.
And I do believe, as you said, that part of that has to do with how much we're stuffing, how much of our own truth we are holding within. You know, our lies and our distortions and the things we've done. And I think that what happens is that you spend so much energy trying to be something and trying to conceal things, whatever it is, you know, whether that you're a thief or a mugger or a drug user, whatever it is that takes energy, slowly breaks down the immune system and opens you up to disease. And the disease is a message from the soul saying, okay, wait a minute now, you've got to look at yourself because you came here to do certain things and you're getting sidetracked, so, you know, you better address these issues, and you can ignore them or go on and find out what it is that needs to be looked at within yourself.
I agree. And astrology shows that as well. According to the principles of astrology, if it has manifested in a physical reality,
mm-hmm.
you have waited to the very last moment.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's the universe is basically a spiritual issue will manifest in reality.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
The question is excuse me, how good are you at keeping the wrong things from manifesting?
Yeah, you're right, right.
Right? So
exactly.
We all have intent. I want to be a rock star. I want to be this. I want to be that. We all manifest reality. But also, our spiritual illnesses or our dis-ease in our soul, our soul's at dis-ease, which is disease. Our soul's at dis-ease, and we will manifest a disease if we don't pay attention to our dis-ease.
Yes.
And at that point, it is pretty, you know, at that point, it's very difficult to reverse because you've already manifested it.
Right, right. That's right.
But you can. And
yeah.
What I've noticed is that you still can if you put all of your troops on one side
yeah.
and really fight it. You know, you just have to balance the equation.
Yeah.
But the universe does give many warning signals.
Oh, yeah.
Many.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And people do not pay attention to those warning signals. And part of what I try to do with my whole horoscopes is constantly name the warning signals. Yo, you're being warned right now. If you have an issue with this, you need to
yep.
pay attention to it now before it manifests into a dis-ease in your soul.
Yep.
And really, it's the crudest way of learning. It's the most barbaric way of learning, unfortunately.
It is. And you know, a smart person learns that, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to learn the hard way. But sometimes it takes 10,000 trips to the brick wall to finally get the message. And even then, sometimes for myself, I would repeat things that I knew were self-destructive. And gradually, you do make course corrections. And fortunately, I don't do that. I try very hard not to create new sources of uncomfortableness for myself.
What's your astrological sign again?
It's Virgo.
Oh, you're a Virgo.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and you know, Virgos, you know, the interesting thing about Virgos is Virgos rule reality. Every zodiac sign has a spectrum of reality that they are masters of.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Virgos are masters of the final moment.
Oh.
They're masters of now, the
Whoa.
Most mundane part of reality. Every detail, every crosshair, every cross-section.
Yeah.
That's what Virgos are masters of, which
oh.
is why your younger Virgos are known to be anal retentive,
uh-huh.
you know, because they're bitchy, pardon my French.
Yeah.
And they are being anal about what they know.
Yeah.
Your higher Virgos are healers.
Yeah.
Because they are anal about what they know, and they can see the path to fruition.
Yeah.
but as a result, Virgo does rule the body, being in the body, in the moment, in the vessel. And when a Virgo is depressed, you know, they tend to manifest it in their body, especially if they are in denial of something within themselves. If they don't want to acknowledge something, they will manifest it within their body.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They need the pimple
yep.
to understand there's an infection.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And you're right on the money, because I can tell when there's even a nanoparticle off about my physical being.
Right.
And it may, like you said, it might be a pimple, but it's like, oh, there's something wrong. And then I start paying attention to what is it trying to tell me. And you said something about fighting disease, and I just wanted to add my little two cents here. For me, I think that we are in our language, we spend too much time trying to fight things. And if there really is a dis-ease in the body, as you mentioned, then it's possible to speak to the cells in your body and to communicate at the cellular level.
Right.
And actually embrace the disease and, you know, love it to death. And I don't know how I've managed to do that, but it's, like I said, it's been 25 years, and the other shoe hasn't dropped yet. I guess I'm supposed to be here.
You most definitely. 25 years, HIV positive?
Yes, and about the last 5 years have been diagnosed with an AIDS diagnosis.
And have you been on the meds or no?
Yes, for about 4 years.
You've been on the meds for 4 years?
Yep.
So about 4 years ago, something went sour and you got afraid and went on the meds.
Well, yes, in a way, in a way. You
no, that's not a bad thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the meds today are designed for survival. I think the meds in the 80s were designed for destruction. I think that the meds in the 80s were designed to create a huge impact of fear.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the meds today are probably harmless, mostly, because they're designed for people to pay for them forever.
Yes, yes, you're right.
I don't want you to create any guilt there, but I'm just curious what triggered you 4 years ago to switch from a total positive attitude and self-help to reliance on a medication.
Well, as I began to get medical care after having not had it for, you know, about 5 or 6 years and using meth for, so, you know, 4 or 5 years, I began paying attention to my blood work. And it was when it reached a certain point, a low point, that I thought that it would be beneficial to try them to see if they would be a stopgap. In other words, it was basically to buy time. And then when I started taking them, I just looked at it as my way of affirming that I would like to be here another 24 hours. So it's not that the pill is doing anything magic, but, and it's probably me, but it has bought me a few years, and my T cells have gone, you know, from about 190 to 600, which is a big improvement, and no viral load. So something's working.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no side effects to these as far as I can tell. So until, you know, we as a group in humanity are healed, and I think we're reaching a point where disease will end in our lifetime. I still have been using that as an affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, as you said, it is partially fear of death. But I'm a lot less frightened of death than I was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. I actually welcome it, especially after talking to so many people who've had near-death experiences and describe such wonderful things on the other side.
Right.
We're almost running out of time. I can't believe how fast this hour has gone.
I know. We have a lot in common.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to come back.
I'd be honored to.
And is there anything that you'd like to say about the year or anything that you before we go? And also, be sure to remind people where your site is.
Okay. I'm at Soul Garden, SoulGarden.tv.
Yeah.
I do horoscopes 5 days a week for all 12 signs, plus an astro weather that kind of gives you a conglomerate of everyone. And, you know, 2009 is a very special year. The number 9 is very special. It's a number of mastery.
Uh-huh.
Jupiter will be in Aquarius next year. That means we're going to make quantum leaps toward the age of Aquarius. You know, and Barack Obama, by the way, has Jupiter in Aquarius natally. He was born in a year when Jupiter is in Aquarius. So he is definitely an instrument of that. Next year is a year of really taking risk and going ahead and leaping for what you truly want, even though society may say it's not possible, even though what you understand may say it's not possible. Next year is the year of being a Rosa Parks and not giving your seat up on the bus, really
Wonderful.
Standing for what you believe in. And, you know, the worst that can happen is you get knocked down, but that's worth a chance every now and then, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so I think it's a very powerful year in 09. I think the summer of 2009 is going to be like 1969. I think it's going to be a summer of love. I think
yes.
You're going to have a full year of indulgence. I think you're going to have a full year of bliss. I think that year will be followed by some darkness, but I think the only people who will experience the darkness were the people who chose dark.
Yeah, yeah, good.
So good. I really think this is the launching year for all of us. And
wonderful.
It's been an absolute pleasure to be a guest on your show. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Christopher, you have been so wonderful. I can't thank you enough. And everybody, go to a site. It's free. Every day he does a horoscope for every sign. So, and he's got wonderful energy, as you can tell from this show. So thank you again.
Thank you.
And I wish everybody a wonderful Christmas and holiday season, just overflowing with love.
Ah, excellent.
All right. Good night, Christopher, and thanks again.
Good night. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Be in touch with me. Bye-bye.